just immersed in nostalgia, almost like submerged in nostalgia. 2 weekends ago, on September 19th, I went with my sister to Mount Vernon, Illinois, where we attended our cousin's 50th wedding anniversary party. I had a good time. And I got to do a vow renewal. They asked me if I wanted to do a vow renewal, and I said I'd be honored. It was wonderful. This is a favorite cousin. When we were kids, our two families would get together often. There were 5 boys. I say boys, and us 2 girls. And we're double cousins, you know. So my dad and my cousin's dad are brothers. My mom and his mom are sisters. So you can't get much closer unless you live in the same house. We all come from the same place. But anyway, it's a favorite cousin. I was honored to do it. They have 6 children, and then their kids have kids. And so it was a big gathering, big party, big gathering. Someone in the kids circle had created this photograph slideshow thing. And while I didn't know a lot of the more recent pictures, because I don't know the kids' kids, you know, I know the kids, but not the kids' kids. So there were a lot of them that I didn't know, but they had all these pictures the older pictures of my cousin, several when he was a little boy, which, you know, and I remember that, you know, and some when he was a young man, about the time they got married and in the Navy and all that. It was very nostalgic. I really had a good time. That was on the 19th. And then last weekend, I did a party for my son and his wife. Both are turning 40 this year. My son is already 40, and my daughter-in-law is, her birthday is in December, so it's coming up. And it was a wonderful gathering. It wasn't quite as nostalgic, or at least not going back as far as the previous weekend. But still, you know, when you have a child and you have a celebration like that, at least for me, I started thinking about when he was born and what he was like as a little boy. You know, so here's some more nostalgia. You know? Okay. This weekend is my high school reunion. It was Friday night, Saturday night, 50th. Rittner, by the way. Yeah. In St. Louis, that's important, you know, which one it is. 50. I can't believe it's been 50 years. It was so interesting. Friday night, some of us gathered, about 70 of us, I think, gathered to take a tour of the high school. It's changed. Who would have thought, you know? But there were some recognizable things, and they've added a whole wing that is like for performing arts, and they have places for band uniforms and orchestra uniform. They had long dresses. I mean, it was just beautiful. It was very cool. They have a pool now. We didn't have a pool, you know. Lots and lots of very cool things. But I'm looking around at my classmates, and most of us are pretty mobile. Some were with canes, and one was in a wheelchair. All of a sudden, I felt this whoosh of sadness. And I went on, and we'd had the tour. You know where Chuckaburger is? Yes. Well, we went to Chuckaburger afterwards, after the tour, and it was planned, you know, and I had a barbecued slaw burger, if you've ever been there. Just so nostalgic, you know. They also have pizza burgers, if you haven't had one of those are good too. But anyway, so I got home and I started thinking about that sadness that had come over me. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist really to figure it out, but I realized that I was feeling sad, you know, all this nostalgia stuff. And it was sort of sad for the way things, I thought, for the way things used to be, sad for the person I used to be, the young person I used to be. I don't know. And then I thought, wait just a minute. Where is my focus? What do I want to be thinking about? What do I want to be thinking of or feeling sad when I think about the past? No, it wasn't even that good. You know, I'll talk more about that, but So we know in unity how important our thoughts are. We know how important they are. So if I continue to think of the pain, you know, get nostalgic and think about, oh, you know, what was then? And I'm just so sad. What am I going to get more of? More sadness. Of course I am. And more oldness. And, you know, I don't want that. So then I thought, okay, what do I want my position to be? What do I want to do? And a fleeting thought came through is maybe I want to focus on be the best I can be. That sounded noble. But then I thought, no, because that's focusing on future. And that's not what we want either. In unity, we don't want to be standing back here in the past, but we don't want to be trying to be in the future either. We want to be in the present moment, right? Right, yeah. Okay, so how can I be in the present moment and look at the past and look at the future and where I am now and be who I want to be and deal with all of these feelings and emotions and stuff? Some sadness here, maybe some fear here, you know, and be present. So here's what I came up with, and perhaps it will be helpful to you also. I decided that what I want to do is when I am looking at the past, I want to do it from a place of honoring the past. And I'll explain what I mean by that. And when I look at the future, I decided what I want to do is to expect good. And I'll explain more about that. And when I am in this present moment, to help me stay here, to help me not get swept into sadness or into fear, into this present moment, I want to remember truth, truth with a capital T. So let me explain a little bit more about what all these things mean to me. Maybe it'll resonate. Okay, honoring the past. I jokingly said, but it is really true. The past really, the high school years weren't all that great for me. They were okay. They were okay. I was a painfully shy girl. A couple of classmates last night said, oh, yeah, you were that really shy one. Yeah, that was me. Yeah. And it was okay, but do I want to go back and No. There was a brief time when I was getting a divorce in 1999, and I thought briefly about taking my maiden name back. Ward is my maiden name, so I thought about it, and oh, that's kind of a cool idea. And then I thought Sharon Ward. Oh, no. Almost like, would I have to go through all that again? No. When we think about our past, who in here has not had a challenging time in the past? I didn't think so. We all have had some really challenging times. And we have a choice on how we want to deal with that, how we want to think about that, and what we want to glean from it. Because the only reason to look in the past, in my opinion, is to see what I can get from it. What's going to make me better? You know, what's going to help me? Maybe not to repeat that or to, you know, whatever. So I'm looking at the past. In my opinion, to honor it is to look at what I have received from those experiences. So some of the times that were so, so very difficult, some of them brought me to my knees. But I look at what did it take to stand back up? It took courage. Sometimes, and took strength, and took faith. If there were illnesses, sometimes people get stuck in reliving the feelings or the fear, what if it happens again? You can come back here and look at the experience. What did you gain from that? Often if we will look at it from that perspective, we can see, I mean, we are a result of everything that has happened to us. We are here today as a result of all of our experiences and our reactions to them, especially our reactions to them. When we think about those, we can change. We can change what we want to think about. So when I was feeling sad about whatever it was. Well, some of it was seeing all of us old people. I mean, that's what it looked like to the outer eyes, and knowing how I felt on the inside, I know that's unchangeable. That's still in there. That sadness, though, I don't need to feel sad. No, it's just it is life. I can take great pleasure from the fact that I had these wonderful friends. I can let go of the idea that I want to be as young as I used to be. In any age, there are some pros and cons. You know, so being young, yeah, I was stronger. I could do things that I can't do anymore. But I am a lot wiser than I used to be, too. So there are some real benefits to every place that you are in your life. So there's where I want my focus to be. That's what I want. I want to honor who I was, what I have been through, and maybe you would too. Because we have gotten some wonderful things. We may be more compassionate than we were before. We may be stronger than we were before. We may well be more loving than we were before. We can honor the past. Now, the future. I don't want to step into it and try to immerse myself, and at the same time you can't ignore it. You know, we don't want to just blindly hope for the best. You know, I'm sure you don't want me showing up on your doorstep in 10 years and saying, "I'm out of money, here I am. Can I stay with you?" I guarantee my son does. She said, "Yes, bless your heart." My son doesn't either. So when I'm here in the present moment, I want to expect good, and good is going to look different for each of you. My good is going to mean that I'm still financially independent. So being present and having that intention, it's like that's my vision, and whatever it takes to create that vision. So I can make my behaviors now in the present moment consistent with what I say good is. No? I think it's a great idea. Fear, I think, is a big one that can happen. If when we are here and looking at expecting good, it has a way of allowing us to release the fear. If we can be managing our behaviors and, you know, putting some plans in place so that I don't show up on your doorstep now, then that will eliminate the need for a whole lot of the fear. Okay. So now I know about honoring the past. I can let go of all of the negative feelings, that sadness that I experienced. Maybe anger comes up for some of us sometimes about what happened and who did what and all that. We can release all that. Just honor what we have gleaned from that. Expecting good, we can set in motion those things that define good for us today and expect those, and then that becomes our vision. Today, the present moment, how are we going to do this? What's going to make it different than it's ever been before? And I think what makes it different is truth with a capital T. I looked in Scripture to find a place that I thought really described what that is, and I found something that I find just very supportive, very reassuring, and it's in John chapter 14. I'm going to share just pieces of that chapter, the pieces that speak to me about the truth of who and what we are, the truth that allows me to be strong, to be present. So the first one is, this is John 14, and he's talking to the disciples about what's going to happen. He has said that he is going to go somewhere where they cannot go. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, we know and use the Bible metaphysically, and so when we think of Jesus, we think of the Christ. When you know me, when you see me, you have seen the Father. I think Jesus has taught us through these words that divinity is a part of each of us. That is our makeup. I am the way and the truth and the life. The Christ is the way and the truth and the life. Well, Philip goes on to say, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, a little bit scolding here, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And then here's something, and this really nails it down for me, is the intention. Jesus is telling Philip, us, that we can do these things too, that this isn't just for him alone. He goes on to say, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these. There you are. I take huge comfort from this. We don't need or want to think of ourselves as powerless or incapable. Because when we are standing in that awareness of our divine identity, in that awareness of the oneness that we are and have with our Creator, there is great power. We can do what Jesus did, he says, he tells us. And we can do greater things than that. Gives us great power to be in this place, in this present moment. I believe that Jesus was concerned and did not want to leave his disciples feeling abandoned. And so he goes on to say, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in your Father. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. I personally think that remembering the divine identity, remembering that all we need do is just focus within. All we need do is have that awareness, and we will find ourselves just anchored in the present moment. We will be very, very easily able to turn and look and honor our past and glean all of the wonders that have come, with the gratitude for what has happened, the strengths that we now have, the capabilities and skills that we have now, because we have lived through that. And we can turn this way with strength, looking at the future and say, expect good. And then I will be easily able to do all my activities right now with that in mind and create the good and the life that I want. That's the beauty, I believe, of Christianity. That is the beauty of unity. I invite you to celebrate that with me. Thank you, God. It is wonderful. As we do each week, let's take a few moments now to practice the presence. If you will become comfortable in your seat and allow all that has come before to fade for now, all that is coming to fade, and to simply be present. Allow your body to relax to let go. Often we carry tension in our necks, in our shoulders, our faces sometimes are even tight with just the continual stress and tension we carry. We let that go now. Starting from the top of our heads, we mentally scan our bodies and move to release and relax everywhere we meet some tightness. And then, as we often do, we move our focus, our attention to the breath, which allows our minds to have something to do so that they stop for a bit that ceaseless chatter that we are so familiar with. So we put our attention on the breath as it comes into our bodies and as it leaves. Feels for the body to expand with this breath, and the relaxation and the release on the exhale. Allow yourself to continue to breathe deeply and slowly. Jesus said, at one point, "My peace I give to you." And he went on to say, "My yoke is light." From the class I learned, I had always looked at the light as being not heavy. My yoke is light. What is, obviously it is not heavy, but it gives us that sense of who and what we are in truth. My yoke is light. We get a real sense of that. We allow ourselves to bring that in. So as we know the truth of ourselves, our oneness, and that spiritual being that we are as an expression of God, is light. Love. This expression of the truth not only changes our lives, but changes our world and exuding it out. And so this morning we are relaxed in that knowledge, in that awareness of our oneness, in our awareness of ourselves as spiritual lights. We find great comfort in that, we find great strength in that, and we find peace and love in that. In silence, let us now be light, be love, be peace in the silence.
And as we take time to be still, to be open and receptive, we find ourselves coming out of these times renewed, re-energized, peaceful. It is at these times that we remember the truth of who and what we are. And it is at these times that we experience once again that deep gratitude. Gratitude for the awareness of the truth of our beings. Gratitude for that creator, that all, God, that has given us so much, that is so much in us and as us. And so as we begin to bring ourselves back to this room and this time, we bring with us that sense of oneness, that sense of power, and that sense of love. And we are grateful. So it is in love and in gratitude that we complete this time together by affirming and praying our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.